everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 19 of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker. I'm your host for this very special Father's Day edition of TTM Cast. So first, before we get going, I'd like to just let you know about where you can find me and where you can send me your feedback to. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback about this show or of any of our shows, please send your emails to ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttmcast@yahoo.com. We have a website. It's www.ttmcast.com. And our podcast is available on Spotify and Podbean and Google Listen and anywhere that most podcasts are available. So please download the podcast and listen, and I hope you enjoy. So I want to wish everyone a happy Father's Day on this special Father's Day edition. We have a new segment that we're unveiling today, and we also have a special person that I interviewed that we'll talk to later in the show. So, once again, today is Sunday, June 16th, Father's Day. We have to mourn the end of the hockey playoffs and the loss of my Boston Bruins to the Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues. That they lost in the seventh game, so we are mourning the loss of the Bruins this week, but we'll congratulate St. Louis on their Stanley Cup victory. Also, we had the end of the NBA playoffs with finding the Toronto Raptors winning the NBA championship. So congratulations to Toronto. So basketball and hockey season are officially over. Now we're full into baseball season. A couple things happening in the hobby. Topps released their Series 2 baseball. 2019 baseball this week. Actually got a hanger pack and got some cool cards in it. Got a couple Mookie Betts cards and some other neat cards. So I'm going to be sending a few of those off to TTM requests in the next week or two. Also, our friend Troy Rutter at TTMAutograph.com has a new video he posted, and he gives a shout out to the podcast and to myself. He got a Butch Weiniger card. He knows that I've been trying to get Butch Weiniger now for 3 or 4 months and have not been able to get him. So I'm going to send out another request to Mr. Weiniger this week. It's going out in Monday's mail. I just finished that up today. So hopefully I can leapfrog and springboard off of Troy's success and get Mr. Weiniger for my 1978 Topps set. Got a nice email from Mr. Rocky Blyer, the former Pittsburgh Steeler. I had sent him a request to be on the show. Unfortunately declined, but it's nice to get a response one way or another from some of our favorite star celebrities and sports heroes. So it was nice to get an email from Mr. Blyer, even though he will not be able to join us. A couple things on Sports Collectors Daily and Sports Collectors Digest I'd like to point out. We had Sports Collectors Digest had a nice article on the 1976-77 Topps basketball set. Those are the extra large tall boy basketball cards that came out. Probably, I think the final version of the tall boys for basketball that'll come out in a long time. And a great set with all our heroes from the 76 and 77 season. And I thought it was a great article by James Mercer. And Sports Collectors Daily had a nice article on the 1978-79 OPG hockey set by Stephen LaRouche. He featured the set, has some different cards than the top set. I had collected the top set back in the day, but I never really realized all the difference that the 78-79 OPG set had, including Bobby Orr's final card, which I'm going to try to pick up when I go to the Nationals in August. So great article by Stephen LaRouche on that 78-79 OPG hockey set. So I recommend you check that out. on the Why Does Archie Manning Hate Me segment. Just one guy that keeps sticking out. We actually had somebody that fell off the list this week. I actually just got a return from him yesterday. Mr. Al Downing sent me back a 1970 and 72 card they had sent him, signed in probably less than a week. So thank you, Mr. Downing, for signing that for me. I was a big fan of his growing up when he was with the Dodgers. And his fellow Dodger, Dusty Baker, who I have not had a chance to get a return back from him. I've sent out two now. I have one out there right now, and I'm hoping that we can knock Dusty Baker off the Why Does Archie Manning Hate Me list. And that's kind of it for that list. In regards to returns this week, we've had a bunch of returns. A good week for returns. It was a slow week, but the end of the week really picked up. I got a 1978 Topps Dave Oliver rookie card, which happens to be the Lou Whitaker card. Rookie card. He signed it, and I just sent it out to Garth Iorg to get signed as well. So once I get those two guys, I'll be try Lou Whitaker, and that'd be a nice card for my 78 autograph set. So 78 Topps Dave Oliver return. Thank you, Mr. Oliver. As I said, I got 1970-72 Al Downing. I got a couple of Robert Perrymans, who played for the Patriots back in the early 90s, and his 92 game day card I got signed. He's actually a Bronco, but he returned that to me in a couple weeks, so I'm very happy about that. And I also got Terrell Buckley for my 92 game day set, so chipping away at that set. I got a Buck Williams 1991 Upper Deck basketball card. Mr. Williams signed the back of the card, which is not always the best, but I did get it back, so appreciate that. I actually stumbled when I was organizing a couple weeks ago, stumbled across a bag that had 8 or 10 envelopes in it that I never sent out. I didn't have postage, but the cards were there. The everything was ready to go, so I sent that out, and one of the cards was Buck Williams, so I was thrilled to just get that back. And then I got a return from Clayton Kershaw from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He did not sign the card. Strange return. I had sent him one card probably about a year and a half to 2 years ago now, and I got my card back, but he included two more cards. Neither of them were signed. All three were not signed. So I got my initial card back from Clayton Kershaw. I got two other cards that I'd never sent him. They were Topps cards, but I got those as well, but none of them were signed. So a strange return from Clayton Kershaw, but extra cards, but none of them were signed. So I was a little disappointed about that, because I am a big Dodger fan and a big fan of Clayton Kershaw. And so I'm going to have to wait until he retires or starts signing again. But it is what it is. And lastly, before we get into our segments, we have the Vern Rapp minute dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away. And I had sent him a card after he passed away, and I do this as a service to my fellow TTMers. Just a few people that passed away this past week. Frank Lucchese, who was a manager for the Rangers, a bunch of teams in the 70s and into the 80s. He was 92. He passed away. And we lost Mr. Pat Bowlen, who was the owner of the Denver Broncos. So condolences to both their families. Now we have a couple of new. We have a new segment. We're calling this Three Questions from Andrew in honor of Father's Day. My son Andrew Baker has asked me three questions about TTM, and I hopefully enjoy that segment. And now, time for a new segment on the show. We're going to call this Three Questions with Andrew. Andrew Baker is my son, and in honor of Father's Day, I thought it'd be nice to give him an opportunity to talk TTM, because I know Andrew hates TTM, hates collecting, hates sports, but Andrew is 23 years old. He just finished his first year of law school, and I thought in honor of Father's Day, I'd give him the opportunity and the honor to have his own little segment on my podcast. So, Andrew Baker, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dad. Glad to be here. And I love collecting, just not baseball cards.
Yes, I know, I know. I've been funding that for 15 years or so now. So, I'm going to hand the mic over to you, Andrew, and you can open. We're going to have three questions with Andrew in honor of Father's Day.
Okay, perfect. So my first question for you, Dad, is what is the longest you've waited for a TTM to return in the mail? What player was it? How long did it take? And did they even sign the card that they return your card holder, card sleeve?
Okay, well, usually TTMs come back in a couple weeks. I've had one come back in about a year and a half, and I honestly don't remember who it was, but I did have one that took a while to come back. I got one from Guy Lapointe, who was a defenseman for the Montreal Canadiens, sent it out, got an RTS, which means a return because the address was wrong, sent it out again, I believe, to the Minnesota Wild, which is a team that he coaches for. Wow. And that one took well over a year to come back. But most of them will come back in a couple weeks.
A whole year, though. That's insane. Didn't they return? I know at first it was a return to sender, but they didn't return with a signature?
Yeah, he actually returned. He got signed my card and actually sent a postcard that he signed that I didn't send him. And so he sent me two things back, which is always nice to get a little extra back. Sometimes the guys send more than just the card or cards that you sent them. Sometimes they send extra cards. Sometimes they send their own cards. Every once in a while, they actually send cards that are not yours, but they still send you a signed card. So all in all, most of the guys are pretty good when they do return it to you.
Nice. And it's good you got a little bit of bonus thing for that extra weight.
Yeah, which is always nice.
So my second question is, what is your favorite TTM you've ever gotten, either for the show or just before you started the podcast?
Well, when I was a kid in high school, and actually I was probably a freshman or sophomore high school, I actually started sending out TTM requests, and one of the ones that I got back was from Sandy Koufax, who was one of my heroes growing up. He was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Really? And Brooklyn Dodgers back in the 50s and 60s, late 50s and into the 60s, and he was a superstar, and he retired early because he hurt his arm. Mm-hmm. But in 1966, I believe. But I sent out a TTM request to him when I was a kid, and he sent me back an autographed Hall of Fame card. Wow. And he also sent me back a index card signed by him, so I was really excited about that. Recently, when I started recollecting in the last, I don't know, year and a half, one of the ones that I really was surprised to get back, I got Joe Montana, who was the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. I was surprised to get him back. I had saw that he signed, but I didn't know he would sign so quickly, and he did. It got it back in a couple weeks or a month, and I was very pleased to get a Joe Montana card back that I had sent him.
That is very cool. Yeah. Do you still have the Sandy Koufax signature stuff, or no?
I do. I still have the Sandy Koufax, and it's in one of my binders. And someday either you or your sister will end up having it, and probably selling it off for a case of beer. Well, won't sell it for a case of beer.
I'm gonna say more.
She'll sell it for a case of beer. You'll sell it for some Iron Man comic or something.
Probably. I'm gonna say, see, my favorite personal one that you've gotten is Rob Downey Jr. Which, that was insane that he was able to sign that for you.
Yeah, well, you know, we send out to Hollywood people as well as to sports stars, so we've gotten a lot of Hollywood people, and we got Henry Winkler, which was a big surprise for me when I first started, and you know, we got Robert Downey Jr., and we've started bunch of frames that we have, and we're going to start a wall of fame in our basement so that we can put up some of these Hollywood stars that have some meaning to you and not to me.
Right. So my final question is, if you could get an autograph, either TTM or just in general, from any person, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Well, I have a lot of guys that have been gotten. I actually got Ted Williams when back in the day, and I got Stan Musial and Roger Maris and Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, a lot of my heroes growing up. I have a lot of the Boston Bruins and New England Patriots. I have Bobby Orr and Ray Bourque and a lot of them, but the one guy I like now is Tom Brady. I don't have a Tom Brady autograph, and someday I'd like to get a Tom Brady autograph, either a picture or get to meet him in person, shake his hand, and have him sign something. So Tom Brady, well, I know he signs, but he doesn't sign through the mail really too often, and when he does have signings, they're very expensive. So one of these days I'll find a way to get a Tom Brady, but Tom Brady is the one person that I don't have his autograph yet, and I'd like to get it someday.
All right, Tom Brady, if you're listening to this, my dad really wants an autograph.
Yeah, I don't think Tom Brady's gonna listen to our little podcast here. But well, Andrew, you did a good job asking questions. That was our new segment, Three Questions from Andrew Baker, in honor of Father's Day. So, Andrew, thank you for joining the program today. I know you're a little camera shy or microphone shy sometimes, and you're not really tied into sports or TTMing, but you humor me, and you see me opening the mail, and sometimes I'll let you open it to see who's in there when we get the big ones returned for some of the Hollywood guys. So hopefully you haven't really caught the bug in terms of TTM autograph collecting, but you do have the bug in terms of collecting, because you do have all sorts of Dragon Ball cards and comic books and Star Wars stuff and pop vinyl things, and so you do have the collecting bug.
I do, and if you ever need someone to talk about that, I'm always here.
All right.
Happy Father's Day.
Thanks. I love you. Nice job, Andrew, and thanks for joining the program. He did pretty good for his first time in front of the microphone. And for our final segment for Father's Day, this very special Father's Day edition of TTM Cast, I interviewed my dad, Bruce Baker, on the phone the other day in honor of Father's Day. So again, I wish everyone a happy Father's Day, and hopefully you enjoy our interview talking about collecting and growing up collecting and how I got involved in collecting. So hopefully you enjoy our interview. Joining us on the TTM Cast Hotline is a very special person today. This is our Father's Day edition of TTM Cast, and we couldn't have a Father's Day edition without bringing the most special man in my life. Welcoming to the program from Stoughton, Massachusetts, Bruce Baker, my dad. So welcome to the program, Dad.
Hi, Jeff.
So I thought it'd be nice to talk about getting how you collected and as a kid, and bringing me into the hobby and turning me over to the dark side of this hobby that has engulfed my life lately. So why don't you tell me about how you became collecting? What did you collect as a kid?
Well, in my era, which everybody's in my era is going to reflect backwards, collecting baseball cards was the thing. You collected baseball cards. I think they gave you 5 cards for a nickel and a pack of gum. And then we used to take the cards and throw them against the wall to play games with them. But I was a non-collector probably from maybe when I got aware of what I wanted to do with the cards, probably from 7 to about 11, at least 4 years of my formative upbringing. And I had the Bowman series was presented in the marketplace at that time. So I collected all those cards that you collectors are looking for nowadays. I mean, I had Carl Ferrillo and Roy Campanella, et cetera, all the old stars. The Braves, I was a Braves fan for many years, and I had all the Braves players, but I must have had in a collectible, I probably had over 10,000 cards. Did I rate them? No, I never rated them because I didn't know enough to rate those cards in those days. Unfortunately for me, they were actually stolen. I stored them in a storage area where I used to live in Roxbury many years ago, and somebody came in and stole them all. Because when I got to be, again, I'll reiterate, I guess about 13 or 14, I stopped collecting. You when you were a little boy, I had a pharmacy, so I used to bring home a whole box. I never gave you one package of cards. I'd give you guys a whole box of cards. So you were fascinated with it, and you started collecting them. From probably maybe 6 or 7, you were joyfully collecting them, and then you started more and more and more. And you were much more a non-collector than your brother. Your brother, he could care less most of the time, but he was apathetic. But you collected them, and to this day, you're still interested in baseball cards. Again, baseball is probably the most interested sport that we both love the most. I mean, unfortunately, this year, we'll have to pay attention to basketball.
Well, now let's go back to the day again. So when you were a kid, you know, and you didn't have a lot of money when you were growing up. How did you get the money to buy those cards when you were
I had a paper route, and because I had a paper route, I was making approximately $30 a week average with tips and everything. The papers were I used to deliver daily papers to people in their houses and apartments. And so I used to get 2 cents with the commission from a nickel paper. And I got a nickel commission from a Sunday paper. But the best part about delivering papers for me as a youngster was I got tips. So we would make about maybe $30 a week average. And after about maybe, let's see, it was about 6 years I had the route, and it wasn't until my teen years I sold it to a distributor called Greater Boston for $500. It was a lot of money in those days.
That's a lot of money back
then. It was a lot of money. And so I was able to take the $500 and plus what I had earned on the paper route, I saved a lot of it. And I was allowed to pay for my first year of college. It's hard to believe. But that's how I got the money to buy cards. And I was buying cards. We liked buying cards.
Did you trade them with your friends?
I trade with friends. I lived in a street that had, might have had a couple of dozen kids my age on the street, so we traded cards. The big thing we did with cards, I told you, is we go against the wall. It was very popular in those days. Take the cards, lean them against the wall, and then take another card and shoot at them, you know, backhanded, to see if you can knock them over. That was like a form of entertainment for kids in those days.
Now you said the cards you had got stolen, but there wasn't any value back until whatever the 70s, right? When they got taken, when were they taken? 60s to 70s?
I don't know what the ratings in the cards were. I had players that you're looking for nowadays.
I know.
In that era, I had before the 50s. I had an original Mickey Mantle. He came up in 50, 51. I had those cards. I had Mickey Mantle original. I had Cal Farrell. I had Roy Campanella because I used to like the Dodgers. And then one of the stars that in that era was Don Larsen when he pitched the no-hitter in the World Series.
It makes me cry to even think about not having a chance to have those cards. Growing up, you were a baseball fan, and I remember as a kid, we had season tickets to the Red Sox when I was really little, and we were
I had 2 seasons. I think it was in 73, I think it was. If I'm not, how old are you? You were about
54, eight. So yeah.
You were about 8. And because we had weekend nights and Sunday. And the Red Sox were not that good in those days. They didn't draw 35,000. But the problem with the tickets is, first of all, they weren't, in comparison to today's prices, there was nowhere near it. I don't remember how many dollars the tickets were for that package, but it wasn't inordinately high. It might have been like $1,200, whatever, in comparison to what it is now. And then after you start to go to X number of games during the week and you start going to Sunday, it gets to be a pain in the ass because, you know, even in those days, traffic and parking and all this.
A lot.
And I used to take you a lot on weekday nights. So, because you were old enough to go, and we'd get home, whatever, and you could go to sleep, so you were functioning the next day for school.
Yeah. I remember one game, and I remember this like it was yesterday, and it must have been 7 or 8 years old. Yeah. But Louis Tiant was pitching against Jim Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to go in the worst way, and it was a night game, and I couldn't go.
No. I remember that incident where you couldn't go. You were dejected. They were ideal seats. We were on first baseline. We were three rows up from the on-deck circle on the Red Sox. That's where we were. And then after two seasons, I stopped buying the tickets because, first of all, half the time I couldn't give them away. And the other negative was that, you know, the hassle of going, and the prices were rising in those days, because once 67 came along, the Red Sox started to perk, and they would get more and more popular as the years went on.
Yep. No. Well, again, for my listeners, my dad was a pharmacist, and he owned his own drugstore. And this was back in the early 70s, sixties and early 70s. But when he, as you said, it was 1972. I remember it vividly. Yeah. He brought me home my first box of cards, and every March, right when the cards would come out, he would bring home a box for myself and a box for my brother. And
was it the top series?
Top series. And I always used to, for some reason, I always used to be a Friday, or you'd wait till Friday night. And then my brother and I, his name's Greg, we would get up at like 4 in the morning and rip open all those cards, and then just trade and flip and fight about them the whole time.
The reason it was Friday is because the order came in on Friday.
Yeah, it was always a Friday.
I used to order them on Thursday, and they came in on Friday. I took home more than I sold of those cards.
And I appreciate it. My basement reflects that. Mm. But I remember when we were kids, we would go to 7-Eleven, which is right down the street from our house, and on Sunday morning, and you'd drive down there, and you'd give us $1 or $2, and you'd go get we'd buy you a pack of cigarettes, and then we used to get 10 packs of cards for $1.
Right, they were inexpensive.
We used to buy cards all the time, and then you would give us money for the ice cream man. He would come by, and we'd always buy a couple packs of cards from him. So we were always buying cards. And
your brother was following you. You were much more collector.
It didn't matter what season, if it was bat hockey or football, baseball. We would buy all those cards. And then, I don't know if you remember this. This was in the late 70s, probably like 78 or 79. We went, Greg and I went to our first baseball card show.
Yeah, I remember.
It was at Austin Prep in Reading, where my kids later went to school. And I remember we were all excited about going to the show, and we didn't know how much to ask for to go to the show. And Greg and I went back and forth for hours. How much you can ask? How much you can ask? How much? And I remember we asked for $10 a piece, and that was like unbelievable. $10 was more money than I think I ever had in my hand.
You know, a lot of money.
and we went to that show, and we bought all sorts of cards. This is before baseball cards were really popular. We bought all sorts of cards from the 50s and 60s. We got Mickey Mantles and Koufax and all these cards, and still had change to come home to, because there was still no value to these cards. People didn't really know what they were going to be. But
the amount of kids now or people collecting cards is so diminished. It's a bygone era.
No, I know.
You happen to be one who's still passionate about it, but I know you have cohorts that you go out and you talk to them, and you like collecting. And even, I won't lie to you, I've told you many times, I go around in my travels, I see all kinds of, you know, baseball paraphernalia that I buy for you, but I go, what are you going to do with it? You know, you just...
Well, that's
you've got so much now. How much more do you need? What?
That's certainly a problem, because, you know, both my kids have no interest in the cards at all.
No.
And I have no idea what I'm going to do with them. But, you know, it's still, you know, I send them out still to get autographed. And the podcast here is for people that are that collect autographs. And so when I was a kid, I remember every once in a while, there would be a local athlete that would be signing autographs here or there. And I remember this. I don't know if you remember, but Rico Petrocelli and Doug Griffin were at the mobile station right on Lowell Street in Peabody.
Because they used to live up there.
Well, no, Petrocelli, I think, owned that at one time.
At one time, yeah, he owned that. He was.
So we, you brought us there, and I must have been, I had to be 6 or 7 years old, because I probably just started Little League, and I remember Rico asked me if I wanted his autograph, and I said, no, I play second base. I want Doug Griffin's autograph.
Well, Doug Griffin lived about 3 streets away.
Yeah, he passed away recently.
Oh, did he? Oh,
yeah, he was down in Florida, and he passed away.
We went over to his house because he was leaving, and they were trying to sell some things because they didn't want to take it with them. But he was a nice guy. I met him. Actually, you know who lives up there in Peabody also?
Who?
Dwight Evans. He still lives on the, whatchamacallit, the golf course, Sagamore.
Yeah, but tell the story. You had used to have a famous hockey player come into your in Winthrop.
I'm so naive. Are you kidding? I mean, the only thing, I tell you the truth, I mean, my major recollections, like in my age bracket, is the Bobby Orr era. It was just, you know, it was a special era for the Bruins, and you can't replicate it. It'll never come back, whatever. I mean, the Bruins were so hot during those days. There wasn't anybody who didn't turn to Channel 38 who didn't listen to a Bruins game. Even my wife would listen to the Bruins games. But the bottom line, because I had a pharmacy in Winthrop, and Rick Smith was there, and I have no idea why he was there, whatever. So anyhow, he came in, and the girl who worked for me, she says, do you know who that is? I says, no. She says, it's Rick Smith. I says, who's Rick Smith? She says, he plays for the Bruins. I says, oh, okay. Well, don't make a big to-do out of him, because, you know, you don't want to embarrass him. So about a week later, he came in. Oh, hi, Mr. Smith. You might have an autograph. And I made a big to-do of him. The only, you know, the irony is, you know, back to baseball, the only person that I got an autograph for, and I did get many, which I never kept, because, I don't know, you get so many when you go to ball games. But when I was young, I was sitting out in the bleachers, because you could sit out in the bleachers for a dollar. So I sat out in the bleachers, and the Philadelphia Athletics were playing the Red Sox. And who was warming up in the bullpen was Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige, at the time, was like in his 40s, maybe 45. And, you know, to me, I'm a kid. Satchel Paige is old, but then we knew who Satchel Paige was, and then I got his autograph. It was very, very nice. He was a gentleman, so he gave me his autograph on a program, and I kept that for a long of times, and then I misplaced it. But no, none of the other players that I had. Who did I get? I can't remember. You wouldn't remember. I know who. I had Sam Jethro, who used to play for the Braves.
Okay.
Because again, I was a non-Braves fan, when the Braves won the pennant in 48, so I went. Yep. I went Geiger over the Braves, and then so in 40 after 40, I'm trying to think. I think at 49 and 50, I started going to more and more Braves games. And I used to be in a thing out there, Tim Britt's Knothole Club, the kid.
Okay.
And you sit out in the outfield, and it costs like 50 cents to get in. And so nobody attended the Braves games in 49 and 50. That's why they left. And then, I'm silly. I know, I remember, I met somebody famous from the Braves, Warren Spahn.
That's what I was going to ask you. Didn't your dad have some affiliation with Warren Spahn?
Yeah, because my father worked. Warren Spahn had a diner on Com Ave, right near Bracefield, across from Bracefield. He had a diner. And my father worked for him. And I was young, so a couple of times, 3 or 4 times, Spahn came in. And I was introduced. He said, hey, he was nice. He said pleasantries, whatever. But, you know, in those days, you just don't go gaga. I mean, if Ted Williams had put his hands on it, go gaga. Because I knew Ted
Williams. Yeah, well, I remember, I was probably a teenager by this time. I remember they had an old-timers game at Fenway Park.
Uh-huh.
And Ted Williams actually he played. He hit a ball, and then he took me.
Oh, Ted?
Yeah. And I got to see Ted
Williams. After watching all throughout my life, and all of the baseball games that I have viewed, in my opinion, do you know who was the greatest ball player?
Who?
1967. Yes, could do no wrong. That man was unbelievable. I swear to God. Yes, balls off the wall. throwing balls to cutoff people, hitting home runs, getting singles, getting doubles. Yes, he was like an automatron. he could do it all. And no
that was a little before my time because I was only a baby then.
But yes, no one has ever duplicated, you know, that 1 year of superb play. He was like a superhuman baseball player. He had it. He did it all. He did it all. Yeah, we won the pennant that year because Yaz did it all. He just did it all.
No, I met him at a card show one time. Yeah. And he was signing. He was very nice.
Yeah, he's very pleasant when you meet him. He just, if he stops smoking, he might live another 5 years.
Now you play golf with a Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, I played golf with Louis Tiant, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Jim Rice? He is in front of me. I didn't play with him. No.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't keep up with him. He can hit an 8-iron as far as I can hit a driver. Forget it, you know. He's super strong. Louis Tiant has played the course that I belong to sometimes. A couple of times I've seen him. I played golf with Tommy Heinsohn. Nobody famous. I know. Really. Oh, another nice guy. Brad Fox. Real nice guy.
Brad Fox. All good guys. All those guys are very famous for signing. They all sign through the mail, so they're friends of the hobby.
Well, you know, we're digressing. I'll repeat how naive I can be about sports people. Where I used to belong to Thompson Country Club in Reading. And so one day I'm playing with a man named Bob Carpenter. And it's about half an hour before we're teeing off. And he says to me, "Do you mind if I play with my son and his girlfriend?" I said, "Oh, by all means." So anyhow, we're playing 2-3 holes. And, you're carrying on casual conversation, chit-chatting, whatever. So we're waiting for his father to hit, and I go, "What do you do for a living?" He says, "I'm a hockey player." I go, "Oh, really?" I said, "Who do you play for?" He says, "The Washington Capitals." And afterwards, I find out it's Bob Carpenter. You know, that's his kid, right? What do I know, you know? But I didn't know who he was, whatever. And then I was watching his girlfriend instead of him.
Hey, we got this on tape. You got to be careful.
Okay.
It's a family show.
I didn't say anything bad.
I know. I'm just teasing.
Okay.
All right. Well, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day and a special Father's Day edition of TTM Cast. We're speaking with Bruce Baker, my dad from Stoughton, Massachusetts. And brought me into the hobby. He bought me cards when I was a kid. He funded my illness and addiction that I've carried on to this day. It's a pleasure, and I'm glad we have the opportunity to talk on this program. We don't get to talk collecting that often. We always talk about other things, but it's nice to talk collecting and reminisce with you. And is there anything else you want to bring up that in regards to collecting that we hadn't talked about?
Do I get paid for this?
You get a TTM Cast T-shirt like all my guests.
Oh, wow. what kind of T-shirt?
A TTM Cast. That's the name of our program. I have T-shirts that I had made up.
Uh-huh.
I send out all my guests a TTM Cast T-shirt.
Oh, good. That'd be good.
All right.
This doesn't get any better than this.
There you go.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. All right. I love you. Happy Father's Day.
I love you too.
And I'll talk to you later. Bye.
That wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I'm your host. Please send any emails or suggestions or feedback to ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank my son, Andrew Baker, for joining us today on a new segment, 3 questions from Andrew. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And I'd also like to thank my dad, Bruce Baker, for joining us on this very special edition for Father's Day. So wishing everyone a happy Father's Day. Hope you guys have a great day. Enjoy time with your family and your dad. And as always, wishing you many happy returns.